That'll wake you up on a Monday morning. I think they played that in that movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. In Chicago, there were a big parade. It was really quite a lively showboating of the song. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us. It is Monday, May the 20th. And boy, there's a lot going on. In a few minutes, Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here. We're going to talk to him about what he says is a disappointing ruling by the Supreme Court last week on funding for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, how they fund it. You probably don't know much about it. Stay tuned for that. We'll be talking about it in just a few minutes. And you probably heard Iran's president has been killed in a helicopter crash. We're going to take a look at that. And in the meantime, an international criminal court is looking to arrest Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu for war crimes. What? So we're going to take a look at both of those issues in a little while. Stay tuned for that. And Florida Senator Marco Rubio, he was on the talk circuit, you know, all those talk shows on Sunday. And he ended up battling an NBC News host when she asked if he would accept the 2024 election results no matter what. So we're going to tell you how he responded. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, Friday we gave you the top 10 most popular boys' names last year. So we're going to give you, at the end of our show today, the top 10 most popular girls' names for 2023. Stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I'm telling you, make a beeline to Dunedin, to the Overcash Plaza. Andrew's Master Barbershop is located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. And it's a great price and great ambiance. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Please call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, if you have any kind of a need involving trees, whether it's enhancement of trees, more trees, less trees, stump grinding, whatever it is, you want to spruce up the trees you have, Arbor Life, Tampa Bay's premier tree service, call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So in a, I guess it was weather-related, Iran's controversial president, Ibrahim Raisi, and their foreign minister and other officials were killed in a helicopter crash in a mountainous region in northwest Iran. Now, Raisi had been called the Butcher of Tehran for his oversight of mass killings of political prisoners back in the late 80s. So what's going to go on there? Well, their supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is forced to install an interim president. How will that affect things going on with the Hamas-Israeli war? Not really sure, by the way. Israel said it had nothing to do with the crash. It does look like it was weather-related. They say the crash site was across a steep valley. And, of course, they'll be talking about that. It'll be interesting to see if Iran wants to blame somebody for it. In the meantime, this was kind of interesting. An international criminal court prosecutor announced today that he has filed applications to arrest Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, along with Israel's defense minister, and also the leaders of the Hamas terrorist group, for allegedly committing war crimes. Now, this prosecutor's name is Karim Khan, and he said, based on evidence collected and examined by his office, he has reasonable grounds to believe that Netanyahu and the defense prime minister, I should say the defense minister, bear criminal responsibility for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed on the territory of the state of Palestine. He said the crimes include starvation of civilians as a method of warfare and intentionally directing attacks against the civilian population. He also said he wants to arrest the Hamas leader, Yahya Sinwar, and its top political leader, Ismail Haniyeh, and its military commander as well. So he wants to get them all together, going after everybody, I guess. We'll see where all of that goes. I think right now Netanyahu is not going to go walking into his office and saying, "Here I am." He's got other things to do, kind of busy right now. So what's going on here is the trial of Donald Trump continues this morning. I guess our buddy ex-lawyer Michael Cohen is currently on the stand as the cross-examination is continuing with him. The trial should be coming to an end probably later this week. Cohen is supposed to be the prosecution's final witness. I guess on Friday there was no trial because Trump was attending his son's high school graduation. He also made a political speech. I think it was in Minnesota, so he was busy on Friday. Once again, when Trump arrived for the trial this morning, he complained about being forced off the campaign trail. And he went on to say the case against him is a scheme by the Department of Justice to stop him from campaigning. Although he does find time when he can to get out there and do it. I guess Biden gave a rip-roaring speech at Morehead College. I say rip-roaring kind of tongue-in-cheek. We'll talk about his speech, I guess, a little bit later, but it was at Morehouse College in Atlanta yesterday. Or no, probably Saturday that he gave it. But anyway, he gave it over the weekend.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday he was in Pennsylvania.
Okay, thank you. So he gave it on Saturday. Some of the most notable moments, he addressed black voters in particular. Now, Morehouse College is an African-American college, basically. He said students have to be 10 times better that are blacks than anybody else just to get a fair shot, and that Republicans are not accepting of black people. Oh, good old, I like Joe. You know why? He's a unifier. That's what he is.
Yeah, unite the country. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So blacks are not, Republicans are not accepting of black people. That's what he says. Okay. He also took a swipe at the election laws in Georgia, reviving a misleading claim that voters are banned from getting food and water while standing in line to vote. That's nonsense. He said, today in Georgia, they won't allow water to be available to you while you wait in line to vote. What in the hell is that all about? He didn't even say it that forcefully, but he did say it. It was in reference to a Georgia law that stops poll workers and others from actively distributing water or food to voters within 150 feet of a polling place. But it does allow poll workers to provide self-service water from an unattended receptacle that's there. So anyway, he just kind of changes things all the time.
You know, just once I was hoping at Morehouse, because people are not stupid. Just once I would like somebody to stand up there and thank him for coming out, but wondering where he was the year before that, the year before that. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, it's an election year this year.
Oh, wow, what a coincidence.
I would say that right to his face. I mean, I'd say it right to his face.
Yeah. Good old Joe, Jolting Joe Biden. Well, let's do this. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about what he says is a disappointing ruling by the Supreme Court on funding for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Monday, and delighted to have back an old buddy of ours, Ian Murray, who is the Vice President of Strategy and a Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk to him about a Supreme Court ruling last Thursday, which he finds a disappointment, which involved the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Ian, welcome back to Freedom Works.
It's great to be back with you, Bull.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you, Ian. This is something you've been following for some time. In fact, you wrote a story back about almost, 7 years ago, it looks like, the case against the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I thought that's supposed to be a good thing, supposed to protect people. So tell us a little bit, first of all, let's talk about what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is supposed to do. And then we can talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about this ruling by the Supreme Court. So what does the CFPB portend to do for consumers?
Well, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was the brainchild of Senator Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, so that should tell you something to begin with. The idea was that, you know, she had this theory that the financial crisis was caused by exploitation of consumers by banks, and that therefore you needed she analogized it to a toaster. She said, if a toaster breaks down and sets your house on fire, then that's why we have the Consumer Protection, the Consumer Product Services Commission, to make sure that that toaster doesn't catch fire in the first place. So she said, well, we need the same sort of thing with financial protection, because if financial products go wrong, then they set the entire economy on fire. This was her analogy. So the idea was that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau would come in and be a sort of guardian to make sure that all financial products were safe. But, of course, what actually happened was that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau had this huge grant of power given to it by the Dodd-Frank Act, so they started interfering in virtually everything. That one of their current schemes, for instance, is that the credit card late fees are a junk fee. So therefore, they're going to cap credit card late fees. Now, you and I know that the credit card a late fee is going to happen if you pay your bill late. It's as far from a junk fee as you could possibly imagine. But instead, what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is doing, just like the administration is doing student loans, is saying that if you pay your bills on time, you're a chump.
Yeah.
And they're going to protect the people who can't be bothered to pay their bills. So, you know, that's the sort of thing the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is doing. Far from protecting us, it's just interfering with the smooth running of the financial system.
Yes, and as always, whenever the federal government gets involved in the private sector, supposedly I'm here to help you. Ronald Reagan would say the worst nine words in a sentence, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. You don't want that. But let's get on to the Supreme Court now. What is this? This is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau versus the Community Financial Services Association. This was a lawsuit that was apparently challenging how the CFPB was funded. What happened there, Ian?
Well, as I said, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was given a huge amount of power in the Dodd-Frank Act after the financial crisis. And one of the ways it was given a huge amount of power was it was insulated from the normal process of funding. The normal process of funding is that a government department gets its funding from Congress through an appropriations bill. And this gives Congress something we call the power of the purse. So Congress can actually discipline the actions of executive agencies by withholding money if they don't like what the executive agency is doing. It's a really important principle. The way the CFPB was set up was it doesn't get its money through that appropriations process. It actually gets its money by request from the earnings of the Federal Reserve. So basically, the director of the bureau just writes to the head of the Fed and says, "I need X amount of money for our operations over the next year," and the Fed has to give it to them. There are some limits, but they're very broad. They've mm-hmm. never been approached. So this means that Congress has no power of the purse over this agency at all, and. The Community Financial Services Agency, which is a trade group for some industries that are being really heavily picked on by the CFPB, said, "Well, wait a minute, this is unconstitutional," and that was the question that was before.
I got you.
Whether
yeah.
that was constitutional or not.
Well, well put, and you're right. It's you've got to have some sort of check on executive agencies and. And certainly it's the legislative branch of the government that funds things. So now they take away the protection, I would say, the overseeing by the legislative branch. They hand it over to some Federal Reserve bureaucrat. And, well, let me ask you this. Why do you think the Supreme Court... Why would the Supreme Court, which I thought, you know, basically a conservative, majority at this point, why would they allow this?
Yeah, it's a really disappointing result. What Justice Thomas authored the opinion, and Justices Barrett, Roberts, and Kavanaugh, and all the liberal wing of the court joined in his opinion. He said that because the Congress had used alternative funding means for things like the post office right from the very beginning of the Republic, that therefore alternative funding arrangements like this are constitutional, and he used the text of the appropriations clause and said, this doesn't actually violate the text of the...
Are we talking about Justice Thomas that said this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this was Justice Thomas.
And he's the one of the most conservative.
Yes. Justice Alito and Justice Gorsuch dissented. They said that they thought Thomas was wrong about this, and that there's a difference in kind between the post office, which is a sort of government function, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which actually exercises real power over Americans' lives. I think that this actually gives us a chance to challenge it under another basis, which is the necessary and proper clause of the Constitution. Is it necessary and proper that the CFPB be funded that way? I think you can argue that it is the case for the post office, I don't think you can argue it's that way for the CFPB.
Sure.
So I think a different line of approach is needed in order to preserve this really important principle, which, you know, as Justice Alito pointed out in his dissent, that goes back to the English Civil War. The English Civil War, you know, was a dispute between the legislature and the executive over how the executive is funded. And because the king wanted the power to raise taxes all the time, and the parliament said absolutely not. So this is a really old principle that goes back, you know, before the founding of the republic, and I think it's one that we really need to defend.
Indeed, we're talking with Ian Murray. He is the vice president of strategy and a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about what he calls a disappointing ruling by the Supreme Court in how the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is being funded. He feels that they should be funded and be connected to the legislative branch of our government, which seems to make sense. Right now, in other words, when they need money, they just wander over to the Federal Reserve and talk to somebody over there and hope that they get a check in the mail? I mean, how does this work?
Yeah, no, that's exactly the way it works. The director of the CFPB writes a letter saying, I need this much money, you've got to give it to me.
Good Lord.
And the Federal Reserve chairman says yes. Now, when Mick Mulvaney was director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau under President Trump, he actually wrote to the Fed governor and said, I don't need any money, so don't send me any, which was fantastic and exactly the right attitude. So there is a small silver lining in the way that this is.
Get somebody that's honest about what they need. But
exactly. Yeah,
this is so crazy. So, Ian, is there any chance, now that the Supreme Court has made this decision, is there a backdoor entry here where we can re-challenge this ruling?
Yeah, I think there are two things that have to be done. The first is that Congress really needs to rediscover its prerogative. Do its job and actually repeal that Dodd-Frank law. The second thing is, as I suggested, you know, there's a potential for another challenge under the necessary and proper clause of the Constitution, and hopefully we'll find an opportunity to bring that. But The main takeaway I think your listeners need to get from this is, because of this ruling, Congress has basically got a free a blank check to come up with really innovative funding solutions that don't involve the appropriations process for government agencies. So, you know, this could be the backdoor. This ruling could be a backdoor to all sorts of new funding arrangements that don't involve appropriations, and that could be really, really bad.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad you're on the case, Ian. You've been on the case against the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau for some time, and I would remand our viewers to take a look at the story that you did write, because it happens to be on the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, the case against the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Ian, as always, thank you so very much for finding time to come on.
It's an absolute pleasure, Paul. Anytime.
All right, sir. Thank you. Ian Murray. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Florida Senator Marco Rubio was in a war of words with an NBC News host yesterday when she asked if he'd accept the election results for 2024 presidential, no matter what. We're going to tell you how he responded.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you so very much for listening to us. Gosh, it's great to have you with us. So Marco Rubio, Republican senator here in Florida, he went on an NBC news show yesterday. It was hosted by Kristen Welker. And she asked him whether or not he would accept the results of the 2024 presidential election, quote, no matter what happens, unquote.
Why would you put it like that?
So he said,
isn't that cause,
no matter what happens.
Isn't that cause for alarm right there?
I would
there?
Say, no matter what happens, like, will what you are, accept it no matter what?
I would be like, what are you warning me already?
Well, he said, no matter what happens, no. If it's an unfair election, I think it's going to be contested by each side. That's what Rubio responded. Welker attempted to elicit a further response with versions of the same question, prompting Rubio to say, "You're asking the wrong person. The Democrats are the ones that have opposed every Republican victory since 2000, every single one." Then Welker went on to play a clip of Rubio certifying the 2020 election before questioning him on the public's ability to be confident in this year's election results. In that clip, Rubio said, "Democracy is held together by people with confidence in the election and their willingness to abide by its results." The host then asked Rubio, "By your own definition, are Donald Trump's claims undermining Americans' confidence in democracy?" And so Rubio said, "What undermines elections is when NBC News and every major news outlet in the country in 2020 censored the Biden laptop story, which turned out to be true. You couldn't even talk about it on social media. They would deplatform you."
Yeah, I would have turned it right around on her and said, "Will you accept it no matter what?"
Yeah.
And does she seem to forget that for how long after the 16 election that Hillary Clinton went around saying he's an illegitimate president?
She still claims he
is.
How
about Letitia James? She was the same way. I'm going to get that illegitimate president.
There you go. Yeah. So it's always fun to listen to these people go after each other on these talk shows. Hey, we got our buddies, both of them. The Ceresi brothers. We've got Angelo Ceresi. We call him our eye in the northern sky. He's up in Rochester, New York. We got Andrew Ceresi down here in Dunedin, the master barber. And I guess Trump is back in court today. Cohen is being cross-examined as we speak. But the Donald was at an NRA meeting in Texas on Saturday. He received the NRA's endorsement before he took the stage, much to the crowd's delight. He cautioned gun owners they got to vote in November because you know what he said? I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's a form of rebellion because you're a rebellious people, aren't you? He said. But gun owners don't vote. He said, what is all that about? He said, if gun owners would vote, we would swamp them at levels that nobody's ever seen before. So I think you're a rebellious bunch, so let's be rebellious and vote this time. That was an interesting comment. What do you think about that, Angelo?
Well, I think that was pretty cool to talk about. We are a rebellious people. It dates back to our heritage.
Yeah. Now, you're a gun owner, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with wanting to own a gun and wanting to protect yourself if you're a responsible person. That's your right. It's a Second Amendment. And, boy, that amendment's been under attack for a long time.
And I also put the uniform on of this country
yes,
to protect that Second Amendment's right.
You certainly did.
Well, there's and no question about that. And to try to tear it down, like the Biden administration, I mean, that's sedition in itself of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no question. So, Andrew, you happen to be a gun owner as well. Any thoughts about Donald Trump's comments at the NRA meeting in Texas?
Well, what did he mean when he said the gun owners don't vote?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why
it was... Every gun owner I know runs to vote.
I think so, too. He says... Trump also told NRA supporters not to waste your vote on Robert Kennedy Jr. And he said that Robert is a part of the radical left. He said, RFK Jr., I call him Jr., by the way, he said, he's radical left. Don't think about it. Don't waste your vote. He said, we need a conservative person with common sense. This guy is radical left who destroyed New York. He's really going after. He doesn't seem to like RFK Jr. very much, does he?
Well, I can't see why he's even worried about him.
Yeah, I can't either. I don't think he's going to be.
Gun owners aren't going to vote for anybody on the left. Why would they?
Yeah, I agree.
It's you know,
interesting
Paul,
comment.
In New York State,
yeah,
here in New York State, gun owners say, "Why even vote? Because this state, we never win anything here in New York State. It's all Democrat, you know." I mean, they'll say, well, why should I go to the polls? My vote's not going to count. They'll just, you know, New York State, nobody can win over here in New York State. No Republican.
Well, on that point, Angelo, it seems like if you look at the crowd that Donald got in New Jersey, in Wildwood, New Jersey, it's an indication that maybe states like New Jersey and New York are starting to, I don't know what it is, starting to get religion when it comes to figuring out that maybe the Democrats are not the right group to help them. Maybe.
Well, if he keeps coming to New York State and New Jersey, to these blue states, I mean, he's telling you the truth what they're doing. I mean, all you got to do is take a look outside your window every day. You see the crime, you see the drugs, everything happening. I mean, and if he can keep getting the people, rallying them to our cause, that might help.
Yeah. I mean, outside of New York City, if enough people, it's a relatively conservative state, if you think about it, outside of the New York City area, right? Or am I
wrong?
Right,
upstate New York is conservative. It's just when you go downstate to New York City and the boroughs and everything like that, that it's a Democratic stronghold, and I just don't understand why.
Now, on a different, I want to get back to the trial. And Cohen's on the stand. But let me ask both of you, if you were Trump's lawyer, would you urge him to testify or should he just stay seated because it's going his way anyway? And if he got on the stand, it might open up a can of worms. Andrew, what do you think about that?
I don't think he needs to say anything, Paul. I mean, it's all there in black and white. They got Cohen. They're hammering him. His credibility is shot. He's a star witness.
Yes,
I agree.
Stormy Daniels, what is she? She's nothing.
To my understanding.
I mean, they have nothing.
Cohen said that, they brought up that when Cohen didn't get a job at the White House, or a position at the White House, he was suicidal. Holy smokes.
Yes.
I
heard that a long time ago.
I'm going to jump out of this window.
That is an ungrateful turd.
Wow.
Well, you know, Trump made him like, what, counselor to the president, right? he made over $4 million just by getting clients because of that title, correct? I mean, here's a guy that never held an elective office, never worked in a think tank. He's just your common, ordinary day lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Industrial lawyer. How could he justify himself being attorney general or, White House chief of staff or anything like that when the guy's never held anything on a political position such as that? How could he justify himself?
Because he had visions of grandeur.
Right. But I mean, the guy, he's not satisfied with being named counselor to the president. That alone would be an austerious title, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of these people, they're never satisfied, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's this guy that, I can't think of his name. I could possibly look for it. But he's been on talking about how much of a liar Cohen is and that he's got all kinds of information about Cohen. And there's the possibility that the defense could call him. I don't find his name on here.
But is that guy Costello?
Not Costello. Well, Costello, is he not the one of the prosecuting attorneys from Washington?
Well, who's Cohen's lawyer saying that he did?
Right, that's who I was thinking. Maybe is it Costello? Maybe you're right.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Anyway, whoever it was really seems to have the goods on Michael Cohen, and if they put him on the stand, maybe they don't even need to, because Cohen has already kind of come out as, you know, I mean, they've caught him in lies right during this trial, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Trump shouldn't have to go on. They shouldn't have to call him as a witness. They don't have to.
I mean,
you know what Trump has done. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Yeah. Now, they're going to probably send this to the jury this week. I think there's a good chance a couple of those jurors are going to say, you know what? I don't think they made the case.
I still think
and they'll end up in a hung jury.
I think they're still going to find him guilty.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. They're going to make him a convicted felon.
You think all 12?
Yeah, it could be all 12. They're all, you know, they're all handpicked New York people, aren't they? All Democrats?
You don't think that at least a couple of them, one or two, would say, you know, they haven't proven anything?
This whole thing has been jury-rigged. The whole principle of this thing is to convict Trump so that he cannot run for president. And Biden can say, the Democrats can say, look, he's a convicted felon. He's hung around with porn stars. He's hung around with crooked lawyers. Is this what you want for your president of the United States? This is all painted to make him out to be the bad villain that they want to say that he is.
Andrew, do you think any of those jurors might say, hold on a second here, I'm not going to vote to convict him?
That's right. I think there's going to be quite a few of them, Paul.
Okay.
Honestly, because, you know, there's a bunch of people that have voted for Biden. I think it's like 59% that voted for Biden are saying never Biden again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, out of that 59%, I think there's going to be a couple of jurors out there that are thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But aren't you the one, Andy, that said that the Jewish Democrats in New York are still going to vote for Biden no matter what?
Well, there are going to be, but I'm not saying all of them, Angelo.
No.
I'm not saying all of them. A lot of them are turning.
Yeah, I don't know. I've lived in New York too long, you know, to see how crooked they really are.
So you do, you're very cynical, Angelo.
I am, because I see how.
Yeah, so no, you may be right. You may be right.
I mean, New York is the one that is the one in play. They pushed this issue. Bragg pushed the issue, and nobody has called this Bragg on the carpet for what he did. And the same thing with Fannie Willis down in Georgia. They all ran on to convicting Trump, right? And not one American has said, "Hey, what's wrong with these people? What's going on? Our justice system is two-sided." Nobody. They should be marching. We should have a million men and women march on Washington saying, what the hell's going on? What are you people doing?
Yeah.
Angelo's problem is...
Go ahead, Andrew.
Angelo's problem is he's got too many liberal friends that he hangs out with, and he talks and listens to their crap. They all worked at the post office for the government. They're all liberal fools, and he lets them influence them.
No,
he needs to get rid of those. Paul, tell my brother one thing, will you? How many liberal friends do I have?
You got rid of all your liberal friends.
Simple. See? I try to tell him to do the same thing, but he goes back and wants to hear more.
What can I do? They're all liberal up here in New York. What can I tell you?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'll tell you what, guys. It'll be interesting. I for sure it'll be tossed by an appellate court. That I can guarantee you, if he's found guilty. But
well, they should.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with for the Democrats, I believe, I'm not mistaken, that this latest sham, if it doesn't go through for them, and he's either convicted or delayed or whatever, I don't think they have anything to pin their hopes on before the election, do they?
Are you talking about the Republicans?
No, I'm talking about another, well... You know, they have this trial. Is there any more trials that are coming up before the election?
No.
The Georgia thing is practically
falling
apart.
What about the
apart.
One in Florida that has to do with the
documents?
Documents.
Yeah, that's been put on
it's
hold.
It's put on a temporary hold. We don't
know. How is it that the Attorney General and Biden are using executive privilege not to turn over the tapes to the Congress or anything like that?
Oh, my God.
But how about... The Democrats went. They wanted all Trump's figures, right?
Yeah.
They wanted all his numbers. There's no executive privilege for the president of the United States at the time. Right?
All I can tell you is I can't wait for the debate.
There won't be no debate. Because,
I mean, I wonder what's on those tapes now.
Well, they use the same terminology, Ed and Paul, that they used with Hillary Clinton when they said no prosecutor in their right mind would prosecute this here. Take it on as a prosecution case or anything. The same thing that they said with Hillary Clinton, they're doing with President Biden.
Yeah, they want to give him a pass.
Right.
We're not gonna hold their feet to the fire. We'll hold Trump's feet to the fire.
Right, but they can't.
Not Hillary.
They won't do that.
And not Joe.
You see how hypocritical it is?
Of course.
I mean, and the American people. I mean, are they that blind?
Well, that's what Democrats like want to. It seems like Democrats believe that they can, they can buffalo people. Yeah.
Well, we let Hillary Clinton get away with it when she said he was an illegitimate president, remember?
Yes. Of course.
Right?
Yep.
She said that he's an illegitimate, but nobody, the media didn't say, well, why are you saying he's an illegitimate president? She questioned the election then, but he can't, right?
Yep.
You go figure that the American people can't see this? And NBC, CBS, ABC, they don't question it?
No, they don't.
Are you kidding me? What kind of a media do we have in this country? Why don't we just call it Pravda?
Well,
remember that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. The great thing is that Biden's had a chance for 4 years to show what a schmuck he is.
Well,
so at least...
People, they had one, now they had this other one, right? You saw what President Trump has done. You see what this
that's what
idiot
I mean.
Has done.
That's why I have hope for this election in November. Anyway, guys, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Two Patriots.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you
have
both Patriots.
Have a good day, buddy.
All right, thanks for calling, guys.
Long live America.
All right, thanks. There they go. All right. Lots of passion there. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back... The top 10 most popular girls' names in 2023.
Here she comes, that little town flirt. You're falling for her, and you're gonna get her.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen live, Ed puts all our shows on podcast, which means at your leisure, you can listen to any of our programs. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. You'll see all the shows, most recent show at the top. Ed's got the name of the guest. He's got the topic that we're talking with the guest about. And he's got our top 10, OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, I can't believe that a high schooler went through transgender surgery, but a high school transgender runner was booed while being crowned state champion in Eugene, Oregon, on Saturday. The guy's name, or the transgender's name, Aiden Gallagher, won the state title by 0.2 seconds over a woman. Gallagher was also booed while crossing the finish line. Ah, boy. You know, I feel sorry for the kid. It's a sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
He's a sophomore in high school, and he's gone through transgender surgery.
Where'd he get the money?
Why would his parents allow that?
I don't know.
You know? I think back to when I was a sophomore, I would not have the maturity to you know, why would they allow that?
There are 16-year-old girls that their parents allow them to get boob jobs and nose lifts. And
yeah, but that's not changing your sex.
I know, but it's still a cosmetic surgery.
It is, and it's not right. It's not right. You're still growing up. This is really... just wanted to mention this. The Oregon School Activities Association has a policy for transgenders participating in high school sports. It said, let's see. So they allow it. And this comes a few weeks after 5 middle school girls in West Virginia were barred from competing in a track and field event after protesting and refusing to participate in an event due because of a transgender athlete's inclusion in the meet. This is really a wacky world, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I guess, go ahead.
It's driven by parents. I mean, he couldn't get it on his own.
No.
Couldn't get it on his own.
Yeah, that's what scares me.
That's what counseling is for, and... I think if the kid is 16 and wants it
why
that
would
bad,
a doctor do like, it, though? Why would a doctor? Why would a hospital allow
money,
it?
Money.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, if a kid's 16 and wants that, I'd at least make him wait 2 years.
Good Lord. At least to near 18. Well, anyway. All right, Ed. Is there anything in sports we need to know?
Well, the Rays took 2 out of 3 from Boston.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and then they took 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays, but they're on that damn thing where they could sweep, but it's like the third game. They win the first two, and the third game, they just kind of take the foot off the gas.
Uh-huh.
Same thing as last year and the year before that, and then when the end of the year comes up, you wonder why you're a couple games short of either getting in the playoffs or being the home team in the playoffs. I don't understand that mentality.
I don't either. But if you win 2 out of 3 in every series, you're going to do great.
I understand that, but it is a lift for the team if you sweep somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. Ed, on Friday, we gave everybody the top 10 most popular boys' names. Right. It came from the Social Security Administration. They collected all the info for 2023. So they've done the same for the girls. And I want to find out if you will know who the most popular... I think you might. That's what I think. But we'll find out. So here we go. Top 10 most popular names for girls in 2023. Number 10. Luna.
Luna.
L-U-N-A. Luna. Mm. It has to do with the moon, you know. Lunar. Yeah. Luna. Okay. Number 9. Evelyn. I kind of like that name.
That's an older name, though.
Yes, it is.
Had an aunt, Evelyn.
You could end up calling her Eva or Lynn. Did you have an aunt named Evelyn?
Yeah, I did.
Aunt Evelyn? Mm. Okay. Number 8. Ava. A-V-A. Nice and short. Mm-hmm. Ava. Number 7. Isabella.
Okay.
You like that one?
Yeah, I got a niece, Isabella.
Do you call her Isabella or do you call her Bella?
She's Bella.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Very good. Number 6. They got a lot of short names on this list. Mia. Mm. M-I-A. Mia. You like that?
Yeah, I like that name.
Okay. Number 5. Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia. She'd then be called Sophie, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4. Amelia.
Now, that's an older name.
That is an older name. Amy? Is that what you would call her? Amy, I guess? Amelia?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Number 3. Charlotte.
That's an older name, too.
These are all older names.
Yeah.
All right. Number 2. And by the way, this is number 2 for the 5th straight year. Emma.
Mm.
Emma. These are older names, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
All right, Ed, what do you think? Do you know what number 1? It's been the most popular.
I can't remember.
Number 1 name for 5 straight years.
Can't remember.
Okay. Olivia.
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 Really? I mean, ugh.
Do you like that name?
No.
You end up being called Olive, maybe?
No.
Ollie, Olive. Yeah. Liv, maybe Liv.
I'd get a middle name.
Okay.
Go by that.
You don't like that one too much, huh?
No.
Well, 5 straight years it's been number 1, so somebody does. Okay, thank you so very much for listening. We really appreciate it. We will be back on Wednesday. Be safe out there. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.